Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Brad's with us, BradPowerSports.com. We'll let you know how you can get all his information. He's out in Vegas. He joins us every Friday. What's up, Brad? How you doing?
Doing all right, Bill. How are you?
Here is a question from email from JT down in Jacksonville. It's a good question. Very good question. And there's several parts to this. Says, ask Brad how he goes about handicapping a team like Georgia, a large favorite that loses at home, and South Carolina, a large underdog that pulls off the upset win. The following week, how do you handicap them? Do you go by your power rating system numbers, or do you shade them one way or another, or do you just recommend leaving those teams alone until they settle a bit?
Yeah, excellent questions on all fronts. You know, a lot of times I do power ratings are the starting point for any handicap. So, I mean, that's always going to be the start point for me, because when you have such a big outright upset, I mean, the first question I'm going to have is, how does the market react to that? And is there going to be an overreaction to that outright upset win? Do I think there's an overreaction in South Carolina's case? Not so much when it comes to my power rankings, although I do not like South Carolina this week against Florida, and we'll get to that. With Georgia, I do think that there's been an overreaction in the marketplace. I think the market's downgraded Georgia too much for that performance. Especially, I mean, I get it. I mean, South Carolina absolutely deserved to cover the game, but I'm going to question whether or not they deserve to win the game. I mean, when you dive into the box score and you get out game by nearly 200 yards and you're out first down 2-1, I mean, turnovers are the most important stat in all of football. And the reality is South Carolina was +4 in turnovers, +4. So to put that in perspective, teams usually that are +4 in turnovers are going to win about 90% of the time. So, I mean, that's why South Carolina won, because of that and that pretty much alone. But, overreaction to Georgia, so therefore I lean with Georgia. But the Florida South Carolina handicap's a little bit more difficult than that. So we can get into that game if you want to, Bill.
There's a second part to the question here. He says, Brad, do all of your picks come down to power rankings, or do you ever pick a team based on a feeling or a vibe?
Oh, yeah, it's not specifically power rings. Otherwise, you know, why would I do any shows? Why would I do any handicap? I just do my power rings, and then that'd be that. And
that's right.
I don't know why I'd work much. And maybe considering my power rings do quite well, maybe I need to question that a little bit more, why do the extra legwork. But, I mean, sometimes there's feelings, and sometimes, I mean, you know, if as long as the power rank's close to the line, you know, there's other factors, you know, the matchup specific. I mean, 1-9, even though my power rank is called for Syracuse to be the play, I mean, I'm really worried about Syracuse's offensive line versus Pittsburgh. You got one of the best pass rushing teams in all of college football against one of the worst teams in protecting their quarterbacks. So, yeah, it's just more than a feeling. Power rankings are just one part of the handicap.
That's Florida-South Carolina game, I've gotten the two slot. One slot, obviously, to me, is Michigan going to Happy Valley Saturday night. Since you've already referenced it a couple times, go ahead and get into that Gators and Gamecock game.
Yeah, Bob's Steakhouse for me is on Florida. And it might sound a little square because, I mean, Florida's laying 5 and people are going to be like, well, why are they only laying 5 points here? I think Florida, to me, Even though, you know, they were about a 13.5, 14-point underdog last week against LSU, and that's what they lost by, I upgraded Florida. I was impressed with that performance for them, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. I thought the play calling was exceptional by Dan Mullen, and I thought Kyle Trask, big thumbs up for his first big road test for him. Looking at it, you know, I think a lot of people are thinking Florida's going to be flat. I get that. They're off two big performances against Auburn and LSU. But they do have a bye on deck, and they need to win this game. They can't lose two straight heading into Georgia. And on the other side, you know, kudos for South Carolina for that big upset. I know Hilinski's going to play for them now, but is he going to be 100%? Because I got to be frank, when I saw the injury and saw him on the sidelines, I wasn't thinking, hey, Ryan Hilinski's going to be able to go this week against Florida. I'm no doctor, but that looked pretty bad. So to me, I get it. They're not going to trot him out there if they think he can't play. But I got to question whether or not, I mean, is he 85%? Is he 75%? That's the case. I don't think that's getting properly priced in the marketplace. That's why I like and I bet Florida here minus the 5.
Did you tell me that you had a Joe Burrow Heisman ticket?
Well, I wish. No, I do not have that.
Okay.
200-1 is what he started.
200? Oh,
3-1.
How much was it? 200?
200-1, Joe Burrow. 200-1, and now he's 3-1.
So if you had that ticket right now, we're at week 8. Would you be hanging on to it, or would you go to one of those services and let them buy it from you?
That's a good point.
200-1.
It'd depend on how much I'm trying to. I normally bet 100 on those, so that would be $20,000. Would be the expected pay. It would depend. I mean, Tua is still the favorite. It's going to come down to that Alabama-LSU game here in a few weeks. If Joe Burrow, I mean, if they go in and beat Alabama, he's going to flip to be the favorite. So,
wow.
I would sit tight at least at this point.
What do you think that ticket would be worth right now?
Oh, that's a good question. If you, let's say you did the $100 for $20,000, I'm sure it's worth at least $1,000. I'm sure you could get paid at least 10-1 off of that, at least.
I'm like you though. I'd hang on if it's, and again it's 10-1. But if it's just $1,000, I'd hang on to it. I'd roll the dice a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes, I mean, what people don't understand, sometimes it's worth it. And you know, this is a pull behind the curtain on sometimes why I do it. Because a lot of times futures are square. I mean, they just are. I mean, why? Because the hold on it, what the sports book's going to make off of the futures market, it's like 35 or 40%. Keep in mind what they hold for a regular side or total is like 5%. And if people don't understand that a little bit, all you got to do is when they do the monthly reports and they show like the sports, the sports betting winnings, usually from the total amount bet on sports, whatever the sports books make, that is your hold. And it's typically the last 25 years, at least in the state of Nevada, right around 5%. But futures, the futures market, who's going to win the title, who's going to win the Heisman, their typical profit and hold is like 35 or 40%. So typically, if you're betting those, it's pretty square. But with that being said, it's good. If you think you can get in front of a big move, it can be really good for your brand. It can be really good for marketing.
Here's a question I had, and it just hit me. I wasn't going to bring it up this early, but it just hit me. And we talked about it early in the week, and I said, I got to ask Brad about this. Notre Dame's on a bye week, and Michigan's got to go to Happy Valley. Then next week, Saturday night on ABC, it's Notre Dame and Michigan. And I'm not saying guess as if you're guessing. What do you think the Notre Dame-Michigan spread would be right now? Obviously, we've got the Penn State final, which may adjust that. But what do you think it would be right now? If you could bet it right now, what would it be, I guess, is the question.
Probably close to pick 'em, but you can bet it right now. Michigan's a 1.5-point favorite right now.
Okay.
You can bet that at the Westgate here in Vegas.
And situationally, you've been talking about this prior. Notre Dame's got 2 weeks to work on this.
Yep, and so Notre Dame's going to have what I would call a governor against them. There's been some things holding Notre Dame back. Then not only a couple games already this year, but a lot of games coming up after the Michigan game where teams are going to have the situational edge. They're going to have the bye week prior to facing the Irish. Seven teams have a bye prior to facing Notre Dame this year. I've never seen it. The only thing close, I think, was Alabama in 2010. I think six teams had a bye prior to the Crimson Tide that year. But in this one game, it's Notre Dame that has the situational edge coming off the bye, facing a Michigan team coming off a game against Penn State. So for that alone, I mean, especially if I can get up a couple points here with Notre Dame, I would certainly lean with the Irish.
Stanford got routed last night in front of about eight people by UCLA.
Yeah.
They're now, what, 3-4. Are you ready to officially throw them in the trash?
Yeah, I mean, up and down. I mean, just when you thought you were ready to buy them after the win over Washington, and they put that performance. They're down to third-string quarterback. That's why the line moved. You know, I kind of, you know, number one, I mean, I bet Stanford. I thought Stanford would – I thought the Washington win would turn their season around. Obviously, that's not true. So that was a major loss for me last night. Number two, I thought – my goodness, the way the market reacted to going from Davis Mills, the second stringer, to the third stringer. I mean, that line moved about a touchdown. I thought, wow, that looks like an overreaction. After watching the game, maybe not so much. Yeah, I mean, to put in perspective right now on the farm, and keep in mind, Notre Dame hasn't won at Stanford since 2007.
Interesting. All right. Brad, I got a lot of questions for you, a lot of them here on Twitter. BradPowerSports.com. Tell everybody how they can get your information.
BradPowerSports.com, dead top of the page. Click on the Bill King tab. Once you do so, download past issues of the newsletter. Check it out if you need some samples. If you like what you see, rest of the season, $69. You still got several months left. You got, you know, the rest of October. You got November, December. Bowl action's great. And obviously you got January, because it not only covers college football, it's the NFL as well. You get it emailed to you weekly, each and every week. The picks are right around 57% so far this season, combined college and pro. Go to BradPowerSports.com. Click on the Bill King tab at the top of the page.
More Brad when we come back on the Friday edition. Gog and Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning, T-Dot. The help truck just moved that stalled vehicle here up against the wall. At least it was up against the wall. It's over to the side on 40 westbound, not too far from Briley near the airport. Still a lot of traffic volume, however, coming through Hermitage Donaldson right now on 40 headed towards downtown. Traffic still very heavy. 65 south at Trinity Lane coming in from Dixon County. You're still looking good. Watch your speed up through Kingston Springs there on 40 east. Hey, celebrate autumn this year at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest now through October 28th. You got 10 days. Check it out. Obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time driving.
Since 1976, Angelo's Picnic Pizza, an Italian restaurant, has continued the tradition of the La Mattina family of real Italians making real pizza and dishes with their own secret and successful recipes passed from generation to generation. Angelo's Picnic Pizza, an Italian restaurant at 2713 Murfreesboro Road in Antioch, has long been the go-to place in Nashville for authentic Brooklyn-style pizza, even up to selling pizza by the slice. In fact, the La Mattina family received a proclamation from Metro Government for dedication to service, length of time open for a family-owned business, and great selection of authentic Italian food. But it's more than just great pizzas at Angelo's, with amazing pasta dishes, calzones, strombolis, and sandwiches, plus daily specials and a buffet Monday through Saturday from 11 to 2 and Sunday 4:30 to 8:30. Catering also available. Visit angelospicnicpizza.com to learn more and print off special coupons, or just give Nick and the crew a call. 615-399-0100. That's Angelo's Picnic Pizza, an Italian restaurant in Antioch, for the real deal Italian.
And now, Complete Comfort Heating and Cooling is reminding Americans to stand tall and show support to the brave men and women of our U.S. military. This salute is from Complete Comfort Heating and Cooling, serving our area with pride for 6 years. They're a name you can trust. For the best in residential or light commercial HVAC installations, repairs, and much more, they've kept it cool all summer. Now let them keep you warm this winter. Give them a call today at 615-339-4699. That's 615-339-4699. Complete Comfort Heating and Cooling. They're people who care.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
The SEC is for closers, and there's only one way to survive in the SEC, ABC. A, always, B, C, closing, always be closing.
A. ABC. Always BBC Closing. Always Be Closing.
Jim Rome, 11 to 2 on Nashville's original sports radio, WNSR.
Five-State Forecast.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. Sunshine for this morning, a high of 70, clear overnight, a low of 47. Chance of showers tomorrow, sunny with a high of 73. Mostly sunny on Sunday with a high of 77. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Lori.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Bill King doesn't need a countdown clock because he already knows when football season starts.
Brad's with us, BradPowerSports.com. Every Friday out of Vegas. Gary Joe Collins on Twitter, big Kentucky fan, but he's asking about Boise State minus 1.5 going to Provo. What do you think?
Yeah, I wish I could get 1.5. I'll tell you that, because it's more like 7 right now.
Oh.
Boise. Yeah.
Okay.
7-point road favorite at BYU. Tough, because there's a lot of injury question marks for both teams, especially at the most important position, the quarterback position. So, we'll start with Boise State. Hank Bachmeyer, you know, gets kind of what Brian Harsin, their head coach, described as a hit pointer last week. From all accounts, I think things will be okay there, but obviously will he be 100% here? And then on the other side, BYU goes with Jaren Hall, the first African-American to ever start a game at quarterback for BYU last week, but unfortunately he gets concussed in that game against South Florida, one of the major reasons why BYU lost that game outright. Too many question marks to get involved here. Early money's come in on the Broncos. I put Boise State winning by 7 in my newsletter. The line 7, that means a pass for old BP here.
I'm going to play Joe Public here because when it comes to betting, I'm certainly more aligned with Joe Public than the Sharps, meaning Vegas will never ban me because they know they can always take my money. So here's my logic. Georgia's coming off a very angering loss at home to South Carolina. Their All-American kicker missed 2 field goals, about a 30-yarder to put it into another overtime as well. Kentucky has to go to Georgia. Georgia's angry. Kentucky's playing a wide receiver who really played well at quarterback, I'll give him that, in the last game. But Georgia's going to win by like 80 points. The spread is 25.5. Should I just go ahead and walk to Vegas and hand him my money?
No, I'm kind of with you. I mean, it's a little high. I don't think it's a little high from pure power ratings. I mean, I think Georgia probably should be laying like 27.5 here. So I'm kind of with you. Do you trust Georgia laying that kind of a number?
Yeah, that's a big number.
With an offense at 25.5 that looks like, you know, they're having troubles getting it down the field. I get that they covered a lot of big numbers earlier in the season, but I'm with you, though. I mean, I still lean with Georgia here. I mean, I do think that they're going to come out extremely motivated. And I think people forget it's a Georgia team that a couple years ago lost by 4 touchdowns in the month of November to Auburn and still made it to the title game. It's a Georgia team that got beat by 20 last year in a game, still, you know, right there in an SEC title game. And, you know, there's a lot of other teams in the recent history as far as the college football playoff. Oregon lost as a 3-touchdown favorite at home to Arizona. They still made the playoff. Clemson won a national title despite the fact that they lost at home as a 3-touchdown-plus favorite against Pittsburgh. I mean, there's a lot of examples of teams that have still made the playoffs having such a disappointing performance, and I don't think Georgia's season's over just yet.
Hawkeye Jason is a Hawkeye fan. He also is a Big Ten aficionado, and he says that Michigan-Penn State game feels like about a 20-17 final with plenty of 3-and-outs. Boy, I don't know. Happy Valley on a Saturday night. Penn State's favored, Brad, and here's the number I've got. It might not be updated. 9. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I get the under. I mean, I certainly would lean the under, and it looks, you know, I'll have to check. Some people have been telling me the weather was not supposed to be so great, but I'm more on the Penn State side. I just, how does Michigan's offense have success? I just can't paint a picture of how they're going to have success. I mean, one of the favorite wise guy stats is yards per play, and Michigan's number 81 in the country on offense. Penn State on defense in that same category is number 3. I mean, it's just a mismatch on that side of the ball. And again, whiteout, Happy Valley, Penn State covers 60% of those. And I know it doesn't sound great, but, I mean, they're usually playing ranked teams, so I mean the competition's always pretty good there. And then you go to the fact Michigan on the road against ranked teams, 1-19 going back to 2006. Harbaugh's never won as an underdog, and he's failed to cover the spread by about 10 points per game in those. I'm on Penn State. Bob Stakehouse for me, minus the 9.
Something I should have asked you earlier. Georgia dog down in the Emerald Coast called earlier, and he said with this weather that's coming towards them and also going up further north, he said in Athens and Columbia, South Carolina, Athens, Georgia, Columbia, South Carolina, that rain's going to be sitting right over them. I haven't looked at the weather, so I'm just taking his word for it. I'm not a weatherman, obviously. Does that change any of your thinking in those games?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say I'm not wanting to back a big favorite like Georgia. And I mean, in both games, you want to look more towards the under in those
right.
games. And I'm just looking – real quick, as we're doing this on the fly, you know, the Georgia game looks like, you know, 14 mile an hour and about 90% chance of rain. So, and looking at the total line movement there, obviously it's come down not that much yet. It's only come down about a point and a half. It's probably going to come down a little bit more. Yeah, it does. I mean, when there's a lot of weather, to me, you know, I certainly don't want to back a big favorite. Why? Because the weather conditions can kind of, you know, help the underdog because it's tough to get separation if you're concerned about the elements, in my opinion. You know, I think you probably heard this before. I mean, you want, if you're the better team, you want to at least, I wouldn't say perfect elements, but you want the elements not to play a factor. If you're the better team, it's going to show anything other than that kind of advantage dog. So that's one. And then, of course, if you're kind of, you know, if there, wind is more of a factor than rain. I mean, rain, it doesn't really impact totals that much unless it's a heavy, heavy rain type of thing. I mean, like a monsoon type, it can certainly affect it. But if it's just like a steady rain, that's not going to affect the total. Wind will. Anything over 10-mile-an-hour wind obviously affects the passing game. So that would have me leaning with the unders in those two games.
Hawkeye Jason says, ask Brad about Iowa being a 17.5 point favorite versus Purdue.
Yeah, I mean, it's on one hand, I think, you know, that Iowa might want to take a little bit of frustration out after, you know, you look at the back-to-back losses. And, you know, they were an underdog in both games, and both games were relatively close, and you can make a case that they probably should have covered last week against Penn State. But on that front, I mean, yeah, I could see them, you know, getting some margin. But on the other, I think Purdue, with some of the changes they made last week, they switched up their offensive line, plugged in three new starters. I mean, their quarterback finally got going for them. I think Purdue's going to have a little bit more confidence, obviously, than what they did coming out of the Penn State game. So 17.5 seems a little pricey for me. I'd lean with the Boilers here plus the points.
Right here in the 615, Missouri is coming to town. They'll be here today. They'll do the walkthrough at Dudley Field, a little bit later this afternoon. Now, what's interesting, Brad, about Missouri is they open up the season with a loss to Wyoming, 37-31. How the hell they schedule a road game at Wyoming to start their season is inexplicable. Anyways, they lose the game. They haven't lost a game since. And again, and I'm part of this group, I didn't think they had a prayer in the SEC East. And right now, they're rolling pretty good.
They are, and I mean, this line tells you they're rolling pretty good. It also tells you Vanderbilt's not so much, because keep in mind, 21, that's what Georgia was laying week one at Vanderbilt, about 21 points. Georgia, a team that many, you know, obviously had in the top five coming into the season, that three slot for most people. And then, you know, LSU came to town a couple weeks after and was laying right around 24, another, you know, the top five team. And now we got Missouri laying 21. But with that being said, to me, it looks a little bit pricey. Why? I think people are, you know, jumping. Obviously, they jumped ship on the Vanderbilt bandwagon, if there was one to begin with. Vanderbilt's 0-6 against the spread this year, Bill, and they've failed to cover by an average of 12 points per game. It's not been a good look. Last week, what was arguably, in my opinion, probably the worst loss in Derek Mason's tenure. But with that being said, 21 just seems like too many points for me. I would lean with Vanderbilt here plus the points.
One more before the bottom of the hour break. Josh up in London says, what about Navy hosting South Florida?
Again, looks pricey. I mean, and I've upgraded Navy significantly since the start of the season, about 8 points. So I would favor right now what I perceive Navy to be right now, about more than a touchdown over what I thought they were coming into the season. And they're laying 15 points, and Navy's one of the most popular public plays of the week. Seems a little pricey to me. My power rank's got closer to 10, so I actually lean with South Florida there, Bill.
Okay, bottom of the hour. More Brad as we continue. Friday edition. Brad's out there in Vegas. Goggin, Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. We're still looking at positive traffic flow right now coming up through Williamson County through Brentwood on 65 going north as you make your way all the way up to 440. Traffic still holding up out here on 65 south through Madison, making your way down to Trinity Lane. Celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest now through October 28th. Check out the details, obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Hello, I'm Tom Hodges of Goggin Cold Hall, a regional refrigerated company that operates within a 500-mile radius of our home in Smyrna, Tennessee. We're seeking professional drivers to join our family-owned business. Our number one priority of serving our customers is by taking care of our employees first. With a $1,000 sign-on bonus plus a driver referral program, Goggin Cold Hall offers an excellent benefit package with a 401k retirement plan, paid vacations and holidays, insurance options, and a competitive pay structure that includes weekly, monthly, and quarterly bonuses. No Northeast travel, no touch freight, and with our late model Freightliner and Kenworth equipment, we promise to treat you in a first-class manner. If you're interested in joining our family at Goggin Cold Hall, please visit www.goggincold.com. That's www.goggincold.com or call us at 931-225-3873. That's Goggin Cold Hall, the coldest team in town.
Thursday, October 17th, your friends at Pickers Vodka invite you to the third annual Hardest Harvest Celebration and Whiskey Release at Pennington Distilling Company in the Nations. This free event runs 5 to 9 and will feature live music from Rebirth Brass Band, Roots of a Rebellion, and Lady Couch. There will also be games, a kids area, food from Urban Grub, the Grilled Cheesery, and Smoke It All, and of course, your favorite Pennington Distilling Company beverages. To learn more, follow Pickers Vodka on social media.
Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration says every 3 minutes a woman is diagnosed with breast cancer. Be proactive with an annual mammogram because each person truly counts. This message is from the crew at Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration, your stained glass experts serving the Nashville area, specializing in new construction, repairs, and restoration, residential and commercial. Give Butch a call at 615-308-3447. That's 615-308-3447. Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration wishing everyone a healthy fall season.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Breakfast Show.
When you talk about sports radio, it's pure. Okay, it's not sound bites. Mr. Franks, man, you do it as good as anybody. So I really appreciate, you know, in my time in Nashville, you watched me grow up. You helped me grow. Okay, man, you've provided plenty of conversation, you know, man, for us to talk about all things Vanderbilt. I thank you for that. I truly do.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville's Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Thank you.
King is the mother 12th data point of college football.
Brad Powers with us out in Vegas handicapping. Got a few more to get to on Twitter, but Brad, might as well ask you, Tennessee's got to go to T-Town, Alabama, and they're a 35-point underdog. What do you think?
Yep. Yeah, 34.5-point underdog right now is the current line, with Crimson Tide being favored. I think it's the second-largest underdog role Tennessee's ever been in, the largest being last time they went to Alabama. They're catching about 37. And you look at it, obviously you guys are well aware. I mean, Alabama's never lost to Tennessee since Saban took over. They're 12-0 straight up. For our purposes, Alabama's 9-3 against the spread under Saban. Average win like 26 points per game, and they covered by about a touchdown per game. And even the last three meetings, 39, 38, 37 points have been the margin of victory for the Crimson Tide. So maybe with that being said, doesn't look so much like a that big of a spread here. I have a 35 in my newsletter, and the more I think about it, it's tough trusting the Alabama defense this year, Bill. That's been my concern a little bit, laying a huge number, but seems pretty fair to me. And in fact, I mean, I got it at 35 in my newsletter. If anything, I'd lean with Alabama here.
Okay, now, this is what Joe Public might come up with strategizing this game with the number 35. Nick Saban has a lot of former assistants out there. I think he's probably, maybe other than Jimbo Fisher, I think Jimmy Pruitt's probably his favorite guy. He loves him. He's not a big, he doesn't like Kirby Smart during a feud, but he likes Jeremy Pruitt. Would that have anything to do with this game?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you'd be less likely to run it up. And Saban, there's kind of a demarcation point for Nick Saban. Because, I mean, obviously you've been betting Alabama the last 10, 11, 12 years. Right. You've been making money. I mean, Saban's a little bit over 55%. Keep in mind, to do this professionally, long-term, 55% is the goal. If you want to do this professionally, and Saban's been, big thumbs up there. But his best roles are laying between like 10 to 30 points. When it starts getting in the 30-point spreads and the 40-point spreads, Nick Saban, you do not make money backing his teams, because he is the one guy that does not run it up on his opponents. So, yeah, I kind of get where you're coming from there, Bill, and I wouldn't say that that's – to me, that's not square. That's actually sharp. I mean, if you make the next step and just don't bet teams and start actually thinking about the handicap, that's not square at all, Bill. That's actually going more towards being sharp.
Remember last year? This just hit me when you were talking. I think it was eight or 10 weeks in a row. And you started talking about this about week four a year ago. If you bet Alabama the first half, you were like the first 10 weeks you were 10-0 or something. If you beat them, and then I don't remember the game. Maybe it was the LSU game because it was close at half. But and then if you went the other way in the second half, you would be doing well. Remember that last year, that streak?
Yeah. Yep. So I got to think, I forget the second half overall, but you started 10-0 in the first half, but then market caught up 1-4 in their last five games if you just blindly bet Alabama in the first half. I think the game that ruined it was what they play, the Citadel, and it was 10-10 or whatever at a certain point in the first half, even though Alabama was laying like 40 points in the first half line. That's where the market kind of caught up with them. But, yeah, I think generally speaking, if you just blindly bet Alabama in the first half last year and the second half, you were – and I'm doing this off memory, like 22-8, which, I mean, 22-8 is pretty good. I'd sign me up for that for the rest of the season. But, yeah, has it been as strong this year? No, not as much, although I kind of see that it's still out there. I mean, because – Alabama's really good on offense. In fact, I mean, this is probably Nick Saban's best offense yet. But it's also one of Nick Saban's weaker defenses. And if you're looking to bet Alabama, I'd much rather have them in the first half than for full game here, because that defense has allowed a couple of backdoor covers against Ole Miss, against South Carolina already this year.
Soul Street Coffee and the site is soulstreetcoffee.com. Delicious coffee and tea. Order off that site. Says, question for Brad. Ole Miss playing two quarterbacks in this game versus the Aggies. And he says the Aggies don't have one. How do you bet this? Now, Kellen Mond has not been.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, Kellen Mond's been pretty good. He may not. He may be streaky. And I tell you what, he misses some big passes, particularly early. But he's a pretty good quarterback. But go ahead.
Yeah, and I take him. I get it. There's a lot of excitement about the freshman at Ole Miss. I'm not sure why they're not just playing him for the full game. And that can be a negative, the fact that they're splitting both quarterbacks when they probably should just go with the freshman, Ole Miss. It, tough line here because, to me, my gut tells me I want to take Texas A&M. Because here's a team that's lost three games, sitting there. Okay, they got a mediocre record. They're 3-3, but their three losses against legitimate top 10 teams. And it's not like they were majorly outclassed in any of them. And they're certainly Texas A&M taking a step down in class this year as far as the strength of competition. But otherwise, to me, it also seems like, you know, what's Joe Public going to want to bet here? I think they're going to want to lay the six with Texas A&M. So that has me off of it just a little bit, but I'm certainly leaning Aggies here, Bill.
What's the total in that game?
Total sitting right around 55.5. Seems a little light. But, you know, Ole Miss's defense is obviously showing improvements. Now, it didn't look like it last week and didn't look like it against Alabama, but I think for the season, Ole Miss's defense has been better. And A&M, you know, offensively has been the issue for them this year. They're not as good as what we expected, at least on the offense side of the ball.
I was trying to think, and again, I don't know why my mind went to this. Remember Brian Kelly's last year at Cincinnati? They were 12-0, and then he left before the bowl game. And remember, he played well, Tony Pike was the starting quarterback that year. But Pike got injured, and who was that kid that came in and literally ran up and down the field?
Zach Caleros. Yes,
Zach Caleros. I could not think of that. And I remember this kid, they got even better when he came in. He was running, passing, running. Anyways, yeah. Pike gets healthy, and Kelly goes back to him. It worked out. It didn't mess him up. But I still remember that to this day. I would not have sat Zach Caleros the way he was playing.
Yeah, he just gave him a different dimension on the offense side of the ball. I'm with you. But he ended up going back to, I'm trying to think, he went back to Pike for the Pittsburgh game, I think, that year. Memorable game where they won. I think both teams are in the top 15.
It was snowing, and yep. Remember that? And Deion Lewis, who plays here for the Titans, was the stud running back for them back then, Pittsburgh. But And Cincinnati got down in that game, had to come back, if I recall.
Yeah, they were down big in that game and had to rally. And somehow Pitt fired Dave Wanstead. I mean, going 9-4 and 10-3 wasn't good enough for them there. So at that point, at least. So yeah, that was one of the more memorable, obviously, seasons for Cincinnati and memorable team with leading the Brian Kelly getting the job in Notre Dame.
Rob in the 210. Ask Brad about the line move in the NTSU game at North Texas. He said the number was 10. It's now down to 7. Is there any value left there?
Not as much. And the worry is, you know, Mason Fine, the fine quarterback, quote unquote, from North Texas, you know, got a little bit banged up last week against Southern Miss. And just looking statistically, Middle Tennessee's off a misleading performance last week. Probably should have gotten the cover against Florida Atlantic. You know, they pretty much controlled the box score of that one, led at halftime, and still couldn't cover a double-digit point spread. So hit a little bit of hidden value on Middle Tennessee there, but the market's all over that one. On the other side, you know, I think North Texas has been a disappointment so far this season. And with that being said, the market still liked them prior to this week. I mean, the market really bet up North Texas against the Southern Miss game, and now it seems like after people have lost some money betting the Mean Green this year, they're kind of off the bandwagon. I don't think there's as much value now, obviously, with the line coming down a couple of points. It's a pass for me, Bill.
Couple teams in Texas, surprising records, SMU and Baylor having excellent years to date. Has there been value betting, though? If you just stuck with those teams and bet them, would you be in good shape right now?
Yeah, you would be. And a little bit better off with SMU so far. I mean, the Mustangs, prior to the Tulsa game, which was their last game a couple weeks ago, they're coming off a bye. SMU started the season 5-0. And even with them failing to cover against Tulsa, SMU's plus 10.2 points per game as far as the ATS margin goes. That's good enough for number 5 in the country. So they're exceeding expectations being the spread on the game by double digits, 10 points per game. And Temple, obviously, I think people remember more the Temple has exceeded expectations in the two games against Maryland and even last week where, you know, my newsletter subscribers took them. They win the game outright against Memphis. And, you know, Temple's been exceeding expectations, period, the last, like, decade. I mean, they're 53-26 as an underdog. That's against the spread. They're 41-19 against the spread on the road. They've been one of the more profitable teams in the entire country the last decade.
Rob in the 2-0 also asked about Tulane at Memphis. Memphis, the number here says -4.
Yeah, I'm going to lean with Memphis now at the -4. You know, even though customers and myself bet against Memphis last week, I mean, Memphis, you know, it was kind of them having three turnovers early in the game that allowed Temple to get up on them early. But Memphis almost won the game outright at the end. They were driving and a questionable, you know, call at the end as far as whether or not their receiver caught that ball. Tulane's been very impressive this year. Market, the wise guys love this Tulane team. I mean, keep in mind their only loss on the season was a respectable loss on the road against Auburn. But Memphis at home with this 4-point line says Memphis is only slightly better than Tulane. I think they're a little bit more than that. So I got the line closer to 6 here. I'm on the Tigers.
Jeff Two's got another question. Man, give him the cliff notes on the weather issue. He wants to know what's worse, 30-mile-an-hour winds, 10 inches of snow, or a tropical depression with rains like the games in Tuscaloosa, Athens, or Columbia this weekend. Yeah, when it comes to betting them.
Yeah, I mean, they're all really bad. Man, it's all about, you know, and you ask me what would you bet in those games, obviously the under. And to me, even if they – and say it's – I'll just give a little bit more than a cliff notes. I'll give one extra step to this. To me, people get worried, like, late in the week because they're late to the party on it and the total's already moved, like, a touchdown. It's gone from, like, 55 down to 48. I'm here to tell you that it probably isn't enough. The market still doesn't adjust enough for those extreme weather conditions. And a lot of times it can be a three-touchdown type of factor. And you never see the total move 3 touchdowns because the market and the wise guys are afraid to make what they would, you know, consider to be an over-adjustment. So I guess my point being is in those extreme weather conditions, say you're waiting around, you're betting it on game day, and you're worried, hey, man, I'm getting the worst of the number here. I'm here to tell you in a lot of instances, you still are in pretty good shape to bet it.
What about, Brad, what about quicksand? Who would you bet if there's a game and it ended up in quicksand? What would we do?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I don't have a smart
aleck. Hey, would it be easier to run or pass in quicksand? That's the question. We have to
pass. I mean, you got to keep the ball above the sand. So you got to keep that ball above. I think passing would be easier.
All right, one more break, and we'll get to Brad. A couple more questions. Couple more minutes left. Brad's out there in Vegas. Goggin Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. We've been very fortunate in the last 30 or 45 minutes out here. We haven't had too many accidents. Even on the interstate, looks good. Coming up through Brentwood, Franklin right now, through Williamson County on 65 going northbound. Traffic still holding up right now. Down through Madison on 65 south as you come past Bradley Parkway all the way down to Trinity Lane. Performance Studios has moved to a new location this year, 5350 Mountain View Road over in Antioch. Much better parking. Come see their huge selection of Halloween costumes. They've got some neat stuff. Check it out. Performance Studios in Antioch. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
The award-winning Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. And voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, the most romantic steakhouse
Steakhouse in Nashville and won the Wine Spectator Award for the second consecutive year, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. That's 615-761-3707. Bob's Steak and Chop House, where complimentary valet parking is always available.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-park. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
It's the NFL on Sports USA. This week, the Los Angeles Rams charge into Atlanta to face the Falcons. The Rams have Goff firing lasers downfield to Kupp and Cooks. Then it's Gurley rumbling into the end zone.
10-5, touchdown, Todd Gurley!
The Falcons have their own passing attack with Matt Ryan airmailing it to Julio, Ridley, or a delivery for Mr. Hooper. It's the Rams at the Falcons, this Sunday on Sports USA.
Pre-game coverage begins at 11:30 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Sunshine for this morning, a high of 70, clear overnight, a low of 47. Chance of showers tomorrow, sunny with a high of 73. Mostly sunny on Sunday with a high of 77. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Lori.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Doesn't know everything about college football. Yeah, he does. It's the Bill King Show.
Got a couple more for Brad. Rob in the 210 says, Brad Powers' alma mater, Bowling Green, coming off a upset of Toledo. They're now getting 10 at home versus Shark Boy and the Chips.
Yeah, Shark Boy's been pretty good this year. Yeah, very good, actually. Keep in mind, Central Michigan only won one game last year, and I think they're heading to a bowl game this year. So he's going to have one of the better coaching jobs in the entire country that no one's going to be talking about except, you know, maybe some of the wise guys. But actually, it's 10.5 in a lot of spots. Wow. If that's the case, I would lean with Bowling Green. I think, obviously, getting a win over your rival, you can think, maybe it's a flat spot for them. I think with a young program and a first-year coach, sometimes it can energize your program. Hey, finally, we tasted some success here. We have in the last 3-4 years. To me, because of that, and Central Michigan, while, you know, I've been on Central Michigan more games than not, this one looks a little pricey to me. I'm on the Falcons.
Tonight, Buckeyes in Evanston, Illinois, and the number that I saw a minute ago, doesn't mean it's updated, was 27. Is that a little pricey or not?
Yeah, I think so. And in fact, it was 28 about, you know, 24 hours ago. So a little bit of money coming on Northwestern. And to be quite frank, I think that's sharp of the sharper variety because, I mean, the public's going to want to bet the Buckeyes. Why? Ohio State's number 2 in the country in ATS margin this year. They're plus 17 points per game. That's against the Vegas spread. So if you're betting in the Buckeyes this year, you're covering by 17 points per game. But I think you're starting to pay a premium at this point. This is the largest underdog role for Northwestern since 2006. Largest home underdog role for them since 1998. Yeah, I think it's a little pricey against a pretty good Northwestern defense that even held up against Wisconsin a few weeks ago. I would lean with Northwestern here.
West Virginia at Oklahoma. Now, the first thing I looked at was the total. Oklahoma minus 33, though, and the total is 62.5, which seems low unless it's just going to be a one-sided route and West Virginia doesn't score. Is there any value anywhere there?
Well, Austin Kendall, the quarterback, you know, the transfer from Oklahoma, was a little bit banged up in West Virginia's last game. They went to Jack Allison, who's a little bit of a downgrade there. So, you know, the question is, you know, is West Virginia's, you know, going to be as effective offensively? And what's not going to – look, you're going to see Oklahoma gave up 27 points to Texas last week, and you're thinking, ah, you know, that wasn't that great of a performance. I'm here to tell you, Oklahoma's defense is the best they've had in at least a few years. I mean, they got 9 sacks on Texas last week. That tied a program record in the long and illustrious, you know, storied history of, you know, Oklahoma football. They tied the record last week with sacks. So, but with that being said, I just made a case for the under. It does look a little light, Bill. 62. If you can find 62.5, I'd actually lean over.
Couple more, we'll let Brad out the door. Clemson at Louisville, -24. Louisville coming off an impressive win at Wake Forest. Very well coached by Coach Scott Satterfield. Clemson may be their most complete game to date. Last Saturday against Florida State. What are you thinking here?
Yeah, I'm going over the 62 right now in the game. And I just, you know, as good as Louisville has been, I just worry about the defense. Keep in mind, the defense last week gave up 40 first downs and 650 yards to Wake Forest. But with that being said, it doesn't matter who they plug in at quarterback. They've had success on that side of the ball. I think Clemson, my worry would be on the side, you know, Clemson looked extremely motivated last week. So, I mean, that would be my worry there. But, you know, okay, if they're extremely motivated, they're going to put points on the board. And I think Louisville's capable of putting points. Let's go ahead and go over 62.
All right, one more. LSU going to Stark Vegas, favored by 17, and maybe the hottest quarterback in America, Joe Burrow.
Yeah, and up to like 18 in some spots. Okay. And it's a tough number because it's what we call in this a sandwich spot. You're off of the Florida game. You got Auburn on deck. You know, how much is LSU wanting to get margin? I think in any other point in the last 10, 15 years of LSU football, I would love Mississippi State plus the 18 here. The problem is LSU continues to keep the foot on the gas pedal this year with their offense, and that would scare me off of Mississippi State. It's a pass for me.
Well, and I don't know if this is a psychological thing or not, but Joe Moorhead, at least publicity-wise, looks to be Rutgers' target for their next coach, not Shiano. Now, again, I don't know how this is going to end up, but it's everywhere in the news that they're targeting him. Do you factor that in as some sort of a distraction?
Yeah, possibly, and it comes down to the individual themselves and how, you know, how true is the story? Is there some truth to it? Because if there is, then the distraction's there. Maybe, you know, anytime he's thinking about, you know, future employment options, that's taking, you know, time off of preparing for this game. So I just think it's a tough question because, I mean, if it's not true, then it's not a factor. If there is some truth to it, then of course it is.
Okay, I lied. You can give this a quick one. This is a question that's never been asked on the show. It's unique. Says, do you ever consider recruiting battles when betting a game? For example, two teams going after a big-time recruit they want to impress.
No.
I wouldn't think so.
No, not at all. Never even crossed my mind.
No, because frankly, you don't even look at that stuff until they start the final tabulations come in. You don't have time.
Yeah, you just don't. You just can't. I mean, I got to worry about what's on the players that are actually there at the school. I just don't worry. Now, in the off season, when you have time, I mean, it gives you good data points, you know, for the future references. Hey, you know, 18, you know, getting the pulse. If the kids are liking a program and they're signing with them, then that's, you know, obviously a good indication of the pulse of the team's in good shape.
Well, not only that, but quarterbacks. Young quarterbacks are now way more prepared to play and be good than ever before. Hey, I'm out of time. Tell everybody how much it costs and how they get your information.
I'll make it real quick. $69. It's called the Powers Picks newsletter. All you got to do if you're interested is go to bradpowersports.com, click on the Bill King tab at the top of the page.
Awesome stuff, Brad. See you next week, man.
All right, take care.
There you go. Yeah, I thought I had a couple minutes. I looked up at the clock and said, you've got no time, Bill. Get on with it there. At CrazyCharlie615 on Twitter. Follow him. Converse with him. chirp at him. Do whatever you're going to do. At CrazyCharlie615. At BillIsKing. If you do want to email the show, you can do it. BillIsKing7. BillIsKing, the number 7, at gmail.com. We got a lot done there, man. I'm sure we left a few things out, but we got a lot done there. Now, that was a good question about the recruits. I don't know if when you're in a game, you don't have time to think about that during the game if you're a coach. Now, right after the game, oh, you hope they saw it and you hope they like what they saw. But that's a good question. I like those outside-the-box questions on the show. I like those a lot. Good one by Chubby there. Lodge Pop.